Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 16th chapter of Hilchos Ishos. In this parak, the Rambam goes more into detail of the monetary matters related to the ksuba. Halach Aleph. Hanachasim shemechneses ha'isha lebaila, bein karka, bein metalatlin, bein avadim. The possessions that a woman brings into a marriage as part of a dowry for her husband, whether we're dealing with land, movable objects, or slaves. Afal pi shehein nechtavim b'shtar ksuba, eina nekron ksuba, ela nidunya shmam. Even though they are written into the document of the ksuba, they aren't referred to as the ksuba. Rather, they're referred to as a nedunya, a dowry. V'im kibal ha'bal achrayas ha'nedunya alav, v'nasis bereshuso, im pascha pachso lo, v'im hosira hosira lo, harezu nikris nechsei tzon barza. Now, if the husband has accepted upon himself responsibility of this dowry, to the point where they are now in his domain, if they lose value, he will have to cover the loss. If they go up in value, he will gain that gain. So then they are referred to as nechsei tzon barzel, possessions which are iron sheep, unchanging, just as an iron sheep might be. V'im lo kibol achrayis ha'nedunya alav, el harei hiber shasa isha, im pachsa pachsa la, v'im hosira hosira la, harizu nikreis nechsei malot. However, if the husband does not accept the responsibility for these possessions, and instead, they are still in the wife's domain, to the point where if there is a loss sustained, she will be the one to sustain that loss. If there is a gain made, she will be the one who ultimately gains. So those, as opposed to nechsei tzon barzel, are referred to as nechsei melug. These type where the wife's the one who has the responsibility. Halacha Beis. V'chein kol nechasim sheish li'isha, shelo hechniso son lebaila, lo kasvo son b'chsuba, el nishiru lo la'atzma. And the same applies with regards to any possessions that a wife owns that she brought into the marriage, but did not bring them into the marriage to give to her husband to include them in the ksuba, but rather they remain for her herself. O naflu la berusha achar shenis arsa, or else she inherited them after she had already been betrothed. O ninu la b'matana, or else somebody had given them to her as a gift. Akol nekren nechsei melug, shekulam berushusa hein. These are all referred to in this latter category of nechsei melug, because they are all in her domain still. And again, whenever we refer to the term ksuba, it refers specifically to the foundational element of the ksuba, the 100 or 200, which are respectively given to a virgin or non-virgin, as well as any excess which has been added on the Tosefes ksuba. Halacha Gimel. Kvar hodanu shecham tiknu ksuba l'isha. The Rambam has already explained that the very concept of a ksuba is only a rabbinic enactment. V'dinu Tosefes k'dinu ikar. Now, with regards to how we treat the different monies involved, the excess money the husband has added on, the Tosefes, has the same status as the foundational element they established. However, Chazal did not enact the ksuba that she could collect it whenever she wants. Rather, it's like a debt which has a specific time to it. The only situations in which the wife receives the ksuba is either after the husband dies or if he divorces her. Similarly, Chazal had enacted, as part of the conditions built into the ksuba, that if the husband has different fields, good fields, bad fields, and average fields, and the wife has come to collect the ksuba from him, she can only collect from the least of those fields, from the lowest category referred to as zibores. Halacha Dalet. Similarly, Chazal had enacted that when the wife comes to collect the ksuba after the husband has died, that she cannot collect it unless she swears while holding a holy object, such as the Sefer Torah, that he had not left any monies by her, nor had she sold the right to the ksuba to him, nor had she waived the rights to the ksuba to him. And we also then assess all that which she is wearing from his owned items and decrease the value of her clothing, therefore, from the amount of the ksuba that she will receive. However, if he divorces her out of his own free accord, unlike if it was when he had passed away, so then she has the right to collect her ksuba without any swear and without us assessing the worth of the clothing that she's currently wearing. Shrei lachan la v'zachta behen, v'hu rotze lotzia lo hi. because she has acquired them. She's merited them. He's the one who is choosing to send her away, not she. She did not instigate this. Similarly, Chazal had enacted that the woman who was widowed should not collect her ksuba from movable objects. Rather, she can only collect from land. She also does not have the right to collect any of the added value, any added benefit, which those properties had produced after the husband had passed away. Similarly, as we've referred to beforehand, the daughters of the woman from this marriage have the right to receive support from the estate after the husband passes away, but they too don't have any claim to the added value which has occurred to those properties which the husband owned after he passed away. Similarly, she has no right to go and claim the value of her ksuba from property which she had a lien on first for her ksuba, which her husband had sold to somebody else, which then produced beyond the point after the husband had passed away. She cannot go and claim that added value as part of her ksuba. All these matters the Rambam has just referred to, where the wife's power is weakened in the ksuba, those are all amongst the leniencies of the ksuba, the weaknesses in the ksuba, that Chazal intentionally limited her strength in its collection. Similarly, another one of the leniencies within the ksuba is that the wife collects her ksuba from the lowest, the least, of coins. Ketzat, the Rambam now illustrate, Nasa isha b'makom v'girsha b'makom acher. If a man married a woman in one particular place and divorced her in another place, if the money that's used as currency in the place where they had initially been married is better than the money used in the place of the divorce, so then he can give her the coins, the currency of the place which is lesser, the place of the divorce. And the same is true with the other direction. If the money was better in the place where they've gotten divorced than the place where they had gotten married, he can give her the money of the place where they had gotten married. The Rambam now adds a caveat. That's when the money mentioned in the ksuba was unspecified. However, if the husband had explicated in the ksuba itself a particular type of coin, whether as the fundamental element of the ksuba or the added element, then in this circumstance, it is the same as when somebody lends his friend money with the intention of receiving back a particular type of coin, that in that circumstance, one must give back that particular type of coin, and the same will apply here as well. The Rambam will detail more of those halachos when we get to the halachos which relate to a loan. Halacha Zayin. Tiknu ha-ga'onim b'chol ha-yeshivos she-tiyah ha-isha gova ksubasa acharei mos baila ach min ha-metaltalin k'derech she-eskinu le-ba'achov ligbos min ha-metaltalin. The ga'onim had established in all of their different institutions and their yeshivos that a wife should be able to collect her ksuba after her husband passes away, even from movable objects, just as they had made such an enactment with regards to a creditor collecting from the person who owed him money in a circumstance where he had passed away. Fundamentally, according to the Gemara, a person is only able to collect in these circumstances from land. However, the Gaonim enacted that one is able to collect from movable possessions once we transitioned from an agrarian society to one which is more about standard commerce. Upashta tekana zu berov Yisrael. Now, this enactment spread across most of the Jewish communities. Accordingly, all the other aspects of the ksuba, all the different stipulations included within it, have that same status as the ksuba itself, and therefore are able to be collected from movable objects and not just land. However, there is an exception with regards to the unique ability of the sons of this woman to receive her ksuba rather than sons of this same man from a different marriage when the father passes away and they are splitting the estate. that particular right of the ksuba, that the woman's own children inherit her ksuba rather than somebody else's, that hasn't spread across all the different yeshivos, and therefore that can still only be collected from land. Lefikach ani omer ma'amidin osal din ha-talmud she'en yorshin ksubas iman ela min ha-karka. The Rambam therefore says that because that hasn't become as widespread of a custom, we establish it upon the halacha as emerges from the Gemara, that they can only collect from land. Halacha ches. Kfar nagu b'chol makomos shiadanu v'sheshamanu shaman shiachtevu b'ksuba bein mekarkoi bein metaltali. The Rambam now tells us that the custom is spread in all the places that he has ever heard of, that in the ksuba itself, they now write whether to collect from land or to collect from movable possessions. V'davar zeh tikkun gadol hu, v'anashim gedolim v'nevonim hinhigu davar zeh, sherei zeh tznai shebamamon, v'nimtzeis halmana gova min ha'taltalim b'tznai zeh lo b'tekanos achronim. Accordingly, the Rambam now tells us that he strongly endorses this custom, because it was established by very great individuals, discerning individuals, who recognize that now the wife will be able to collect from those movable objects as a function of this stipulation in the monetary element of the ksuba, rather than simply because it was an enactment of later generations, which might not be as binding. Lachates. Harish alokas of kach b'shtar ksuba, elenasa stam. However, were one not to write this explicitly in the document of the ksuba, but rather one married a woman without clarifying, im hayyute betekanazu shel geonim gove, if they are familiar with this enactment of the geonim, so then they can collect in accordance with this enactment to collect even from movable possessions. Vim lav, ocean is stopik lanu hadavar. However, if they are unfamiliar with it, or we aren't sure whether they are familiar with it, mis yashvim hadavar zeh harbe. So it requires a lot of thought and contemplation. She'ein kach b'tekanas ha-geonim l'don ba, af al pi shelo nisparsha, k'din tznai ksuba, she'heim tekanas ha-sanhedrin ha-gdola, ad sh'notzi ba-mamon min ha-yorshin. Because, the Rambam explains the difficulty, this latter-day enactment by the geonim does not have the ability to be perceived as an implicit stipulation in the ksuba, as we do claim with regards to an established enactment by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, to the point where now we would, even though it hadn't been explicated, then we will still use it to take away from the Yorshim, from the inheritors, directly. The Rambam says this is something which would require a lot of thought before we would actually act in accordance with it. Halacha Yud. V'od tiknu chacham, shiyu kol nechzei habal achron v'arvon l'ksuba. Furthermore, Chazal had instituted that all the possessions of the husband be held responsible as guarantors for her ksuba. Afilu ksubasa mana v'yishlu karka ba'alpayim zehuvim hakol tachas shibra ksuba. Even if she has a ksuba which is merely worth 100 dinar, and he has land which is worth thousands of gold coins, nonetheless, it is all under lien for her ksuba. V'chol sheyimkor achar nisuan min achasav, and anything which he sells from his property, from his estate, after the marriage, even though that was a real sale, and he has, if he chooses, the ability to sell all of his property, nonetheless, she, nonetheless, had the right to go and claim those lands, to take them away from the person who had bought them with her ksuba when he divorces her or when he dies, if she can't find other real estate which is more available to be taken in his estate. And when she does tear this land away from that buyer, she's only able to do so assuming she first swears while holding a holy object such as a Sefer Torah, just as is true with regards to anybody who is a creditor claiming money. Now, the reason why Chazal instituted this is in order so that way her ksuba not be something which is considered light in his eyes that he can take not so seriously. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kishmash bein beisdin o yorshim es almana, kishatavo ligvos ksubasa, ein mash bein osa el chutz beisdin. At a point in time when beisdin or the inheritors cause the widow to swear when she comes to collect her ksuba, we only make her swear outside of beisdin. Why? Mnesha batei din hayu nimnon milashbia. Because the actual rabbinic courts would withhold from making her swear, because they were concerned that perhaps she wasn't so exacting on herself when she takes this swear. And if the inheritors choose to make her take a vow, a neder, rather than a shvua, so then she must take a vow in accordance with all that they demand, and that vow we can make her take in the actual rabbinic court, and then at that point she's able to receive her ksuba. If the woman dies prior to swearing, so then her inheritors lose out entirely from her ksuba. Because she has no ability to receive her ksuba until she takes this swear. If she remarries prior to swearing, so then she still is able to swear after she's gotten married and still can receive the ksuba as long as she wants. However, in this circumstance, she's not able to take that vow that was just hinted to beforehand and take Shema Yafer HaBal, because since she's now married, any swear that she takes is still binding. But a vow that she takes, a neder, can be undone by her current husband. And therefore, it's suspect that she might take such a vow, knowing that it can be removed, at which point then she might take a vow falsely. Halacha Yud Gimel. Yichi la karka b'ksubasa, bein she yichta ba'arbas hamitzarim, bein b'meter echad, go ba'es ksubasa mimena b'lo shvua. If a husband had designated a particular piece of land in her ksuba as being the place where she will collect from, whether he had delineated its four boundaries or whether he had simply delineated one of its boundaries, nonetheless, she's able to collect her ksuba from it without having to take a swear. V'chein im kosav l'metaltelin, v'chein atzman kayamin, notela susan b'lo shvua. And similarly, if in the ksuba the husband had written that she could collect her ksuba from particular movable objects, and they themselves are still extant, so then she can collect them without having to take any swear. V'chein im nimkru v'nokach ben metaltelin achirim, similarly, if these particular objects were sold, but from the monies received for them, other objects were bought, and we know for a fact that these new objects were bought from those very same monies, so then the wife can take from those new objects without having to take a swear. If a woman makes a dent in her ksuba, so then she cannot collect the rest of it unless she takes a swear. Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrates. Hotzia shtar ksuba, sheish bo elev zuz. If she pulls out a ksuba which has written within it 1,000 zuz. Habal omer niskav lahakol. And the husband claims she has received all of it already. Vihi omer lo niskav alti ela kaf lakaf. And she claims, no, I haven't received all of it. I've only received a portion of it, this amount. Vafilu yesh aleha edim b'miktas shenatla. Even if she has witnesses who can testify that she had received that amount. And even if she is so exacting with regards to the calculation of what she's taken, to the point where we're dealing with even a half of a smallest coin, nonetheless, lo titol ashar el b'shvua. She can only collect the remnant with a swear. Halacha tes vav. Amar abal, niskav l'hakol. If the husband says that she's received all of her ksuba, v'hi omeres lo niskavalti klum, and she claims, I haven't received anything. And one person, rather than two, testifies against her that she had received all of it or part of it. She is unable to collect all of the ksuba unless she takes a swear first. If a wife is being paid the ksuba without her husband being present, so she cannot be paid up unless she takes a swear. Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrates. If a person divorced his wife, and then he left, based in then after the woman takes a swear, Beistin will go and seize from his property the amount owed for her ksuba. This is assuming that he's in a distant place, the husband is in a distant place, where it would be a real bother for them to inform him. However, if he's in a nearby place where we can relatively easily inform him, so then we send messengers and inform him. And if he doesn't come in that circumstance, so then she takes the swear and she can take.
If a woman detracts from her ksuba, we'll see this is different than the bogemes ksubasa mentioned a few halachos ago. So in this case, she's able to be paid up without having to take a swear. Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrates, Hotzia shtar ksuba be'elev zuz. If the woman pulls out a ksuba which has written in it 1,000 zuz, hu omer niskab lo hakol, and the husband claims she received it all. V'hi omeres lo niskabalti klum. She says, no, I haven't received anything from it. V'ein li el chamesh meos. However, I'm really only owed 500, half the amount that's written. V'zeh shekosav li elef, and the only reason why it says 1,000 written within it is amana haisa be'ni l'veino. It was an understanding between the two of us that we were going to write a higher number than was actually going to be owed. Harezu nifreis shelo b'shvua. In this case, she's able to be paid up the 500 which she's claiming she's owed, even without having to swear. Aval im amra ein mishtar ksubasi el chamesh meos. However, if the wife claims that no, my ksuba only had written in it 500, ein nifreis b'shtar zeh sheish bo elef klum. She's unable to collect anything from this particular document which has written within it 1,000. Sharei batlo so ukilu hodas shehu sheker, because she's nullified it. It's as if she's admitted that it's false. Lefikach nishba shvuos heses v'niftar. Therefore, the husband can simply swear, and then he is exempt. Halacha yudches kol makom she'amarnu lo tifra el b'shvua omrim la beistin hishbi utli. The Rambam now tells us a general rule: in every circumstance where the halacha has been that we say she's only able to collect if she takes a swear, so then, in that circumstance, Beis Din will tell her, swear and collect. However, umakom shenemar tifrash lo b'shvua, omrim lebal, amod v'tein la. V'ein ata neman v'tein azu, ach tavi raya l'dvorecha. In a circumstance where the halacha has been stated as she's able to collect even without a swear, we simply tell the husband, get up and give her the money. You are not believed with this claim until you bring proof to your words. Halacha yutes. Amar abal me'atzmo tishbali atanasi. However, if the husband says of his own volition that he wants her to swear against his claim, om la hishbi utli v'tishba b'nikitas chifetz. In that circumstance, we tell her that she must indeed swear and then collect, and then she makes a swear while holding a holy object such as a sefer Torah. Hisna ima shetigba ksubasa below shvua o shetiye nemenes b'chol ma shetiton. If the husband had initially stipulated that she is able to collect her ksuba even without taking a swear, or that she will be believed with regards to anything that she says, gova mimenu b'lo shvua klal. In that circumstance, she's able to collect the ksuba even without having to take any swear. Aval im ba ligvos miyorshav tishba v'achkach tito. However, if she's collecting not from the husband himself, but rather from his inheritors if he had passed away, so in that circumstance, she must first swear, despite this stipulation, and then she will be able to collect. Halacha chaf. Hisna ima shetigba ksubasa miyorshav b'lo shvua. If the husband had initially stipulated directly that she shall still be able to collect her ksuba from his inheritors, even without taking a swear, o shetia nemenes b'chol ma shetiton al yorshav, or that she should be believed with any claim that she makes against his inheritors, harizu no teles mehen b'lo shvua. In that circumstance as well, then, she is able to collect from them even without taking a swear. Aval im ba litrof menachasim mishubadim lo titrof el b'shvua v'aval pi shemina abal. However, even if the husband had given her this extra fortified level of belief, she is unable to collect from a leaned property, one which had been the husband's and had been sold away to somebody else. She can't collect from them unless she first takes a swear. She ain't snaya bal moil el alav bal yorshav. After all, the stipulation of the husband can only be affected with regards to him himself or with regards to his inheritors, who stem from his power. However, his stipulation cannot be affected in order to cause others a loss. Halachachav Aleph. Almana shahayish shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yada, nishbeis begova ksubasa la'olam, afilu achar mea shana. A widow who has a document of a ksuba, she is able to go and swear and collect her ksuba forever, even after 100 years. Bein shahayis beis baila, bein shahayis beis avia, whether she still was living in her husband's home, or whether she had gone back to her father's home. V'im ein shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yada. However, if she does not have the physical document of the ksuba, ein la klum, so then she has no claim on him whatsoever. V'afilu ikar ksuba, even the basic element of the ksuba. V'afilu tava biyom misas habal, even if she claims it on the day of the husband's death. V'chena grusha, afilu ikar ksuba, ein la ach toti shtar ksuba. The same halacha is true as well with regards to a divorcee. She doesn't even have a claim to the fundamental element of the ksuba until she pulls out a document proving that she has the ksuba.
When is this true? If one is in a place where they have the custom to generally write a ksuba. However, if one is in a place where their custom is not to write a ksuba, an actual document, but rather they rely on the fact that this was an instituted, established enactment of Beis Din. Hareza gova ikr ksuba, afalpish in viyada shtar ksuba, bein iskarsha, bein isalmana, bein shayasa beveis baila, bein shayasa beveis aviya. So such a woman is able to collect the fundamental part of her ksuba, even though she doesn't have the actual document, whether she was divorced or whether she was widowed, whether she's still living in her husband's home, or whether she's gone back to live in her father's home. However, with regards to any extra money that she claims she's owed from the ksuba, that she has no claim to unless she has clear evidence. Now, until what point is a woman who has been widowed able to collect the fundamental part of the ksuba in a place where they don't write an actual ksuba? If she's still living in her husband's home, she's able to collect it without any limitation. However, if she's gone back to her father's home, ad esrim v'chamesh shana, she can collect it up until 25 years. However, if she comes then at that stage to collect after 25 years, ein laklum, she has no claim whatsoever. She ilu lo machla lo shaska kozmanze, because were she not to have waived that money, she would not have been silent this entire time. And she's not living with these inheritors that she might be able to claim that I was embarrassed from claiming the money from them while I'm living in the same home as them. However, if the inheritor himself is bringing her her sustenance in the home of her father and being involved with taking care of her, then she does have the ability to claim her ksuba, even beyond that limitation of 25 years. Why? Because the rationale for why she's been silent is not because she had already waived that debt, but rather because she's embarrassed to claim that money from the inheritor who is currently taking care of her. If they don't have the actual ksuba document, and there's a dispute between the parties, the woman claims that she had been married as a virgin, and therefore the foundational element of her ksuba is worth 200 dinar, and the husband or his inheritors claim otherwise, and say that she had been married as a non-virgin, and therefore was owed merely 100. Im yesh edim shirau sh'asula hamen hagos shenagu anshe osa ir lasosan lebesula, kagon mine simcha, o ksarim, o malba shedua, o shar dvarim she'enos mkach elu besula. If there are witnesses who had seen that they had done for this woman at the time of her marriage the various customs which the people in that city do for a woman who is getting married as a virgin, such as different forms of celebration or crowns or particular clothing or anything else which they would do specifically for a woman who was a virgin. So in that circumstance, Harizu Notelis Messiah, because she has such witnesses who can provide that circumstantial evidence, so in that case she's able to receive 200 like a virgin girl who was married. However, she does not have witnesses to this, Harizu Notelis Mana, then the most she can claim is 100. Imaya Baal Kayim, however, if the husband is still alive, she is able to make him take a swear, which is biblical in nature. To be clear, whenever we've mentioned a shvuas heses in the past, it is only a rabbinic swear. Here, this one is even a biblical swear. Why? Because he has admitted to part of the claim, and the Torah dictates that when somebody admits to part of the claim being claimed against them, then they must swear against the part that they are claiming is not owed. V'nemana katan lahayd begadlo v'lomar zachar ani kishayisi katan shenase leplonis mina kapsulos. And a person who is now an adult, but only remembers the event as a young child, as a minor, he is believed to claim that I recall when I was a minor that they had acted in this fashion towards this woman, they had treated her as if she was getting married as a virgin. And the Rambam now clarifies once again that all of these different halachos relate to a place where they don't generally write the ksuba. If a woman says to her husband that he had divorced her, so she is believed. Because we don't believe that she would be so brazen to make such a claim in front of her husband. Accordingly, if a woman pulls out the ksuba, but she does not have a bill of divorce, and she claims that her husband had divorced her in her husband's presence, and she had simply lost her bill of divorce, and she's now claiming that she wants to collect her ksuba, and the husband denies this. He says, I never divorced her. In that case, he is still obligated to provide her the basic amount of the ksuba. Aval eino nozina tosefes, ad shtavi raya shegirish, o sheyotze get ima ksuba mitachas yada. She is not able to claim any of that excess amount, which he might have promised her in the ksuba, until she brings explicit proof that he had divorced her, or she actually provides that bill of divorce along with the ksuba. Halacha chav zayin. Amar lahabal. Kain haya girashti v'nasati kol ksuba ikar v'tosefes v'kasavt li shover v'avad shoveri. If the husband instead claims, no, indeed, I did divorce you, but I paid you the entirety of the ksuba, the foundational element, the extra element, and in fact, the husband claims to the wife, you wrote me a receipt, a shover, that I had already paid you the ksuba, and I've unfortunately lost that receipt. Mitoch sheyachol lomar lo girashti lo yischai v'tosefes. Because the husband could have claimed that he hadn't divorced her at all, and then he wouldn't have been liable to pay that extra amount, so therefore in this case he is believed, and then she makes him take a swear while holding a holy object, such as a Sefer Torah, and then he provides her simply the foundational element of the ksuba, and then he is forced to take this swear, a rabbinic swear, on that extra amount. If the wife pulls out the bill of divorce, but she does not have the actual document of the ksuba, if they are in a place where the normal custom in that place is not to write a ksuba, so then she's able to use the bill of divorce to collect the foundational element of the ksuba. However, if she's in a place where the custom is to write a document for the ksuba, so then she cannot even claim the basic foundational element of the ksuba until she pulls out an actual bill of the ksuba, as has already been explained. In such a situation, the husband simply takes a swear that he does not owe her what she claims, and then he is exempt. Halacha chav tes. Hotzia shnei gitin ushtei ksubos. Gova shtei ksubos. If the wife pulls out two bills of divorce, as well as two ksuba documents, she's able to collect both ksubos. Hotzia shtei ksubos beget echad, eno gova el ksuba achas. If she pulls out two ksubos, but merely one bill of divorce, so then she's only able to collect one of the ksubos. Veza mehen gova, now which of the two does she collect? Im shtein shavos, if both of them are equal, but lahachrona eser ishona, the latter one nullifies the former one, ve'ena torefes el mizman achrona, and she's only able to claim from leaned property from the time of the latter document. In other words, if land had been sold away from the husband before that latter document's date, she has no lien, no claim on that sold away property. Ve'imayu ba'achas mishtein tosefes achaverta, however, if one of them had an excess written on it, more than the other one, so then she can collect either one of the two that she desires, and the other one is nullified. Halacha lamed. Hotzia shnei gitin v'ksuba achas. If she pulls out two bills of divorce and only one ksuba, ein la el ksuba achas. So then she has only claim on that one ksuba. Shemagari says ishto v'chzira stam al ksuba saharishona hechzira. Because the assumption is that when somebody divorces his wife and then remarries her, which is allowed in halacha, assuming she didn't remarry somebody else in between. So then the default assumption is that he's remarrying her under the same conditions of the first ksuba, and therefore only owes her one. Hotzia get
the ksuba achar misas baal. If the wife pulls out a bill of divorce as well as the ksuba after the husband has passed away. Im get kodim l'ksuba, if the date on the get precedes the ksubas, gova haget ze ikar ksuba, then with this get, she is able to collect the foundational element of the ksuba. Im ein darkan l'chtov ksuba, if they're in a place where it's not normal to write a ksuba. The gova komash yesh b'ksuba, and she can collect everything that's written in the ksuba, she's zacht above misaso, because she's now earned the right to it in his death. Im ksuba kodim as a get, however, if the date on the ksuba precedes that of the bill of divorce, ein la el ksuba achas. So then she only has claim on that individual ksuba. Shal ksubas harishona hechzira, because the assumption is that he had divorced her, but it was under the same guidelines of that first ksuba, and therefore he only owes her that one. Halacha lamed aleph, the final halacha in the parak. Ha'isha ne'emenes lomar meis baili kadesha tinase kimoshis bar b'helchus gerishin. A woman is believed to say that her husband had passed away in order to enable her to go and remarry, as will be explained in the laws of divorce. Umitznaya ksuba she'imtinasi la'achar, achar moso, tito ma she'kasav la b'ksuba. And one of the stipulations of the ksuba is that if she does remarry another person, after he passes away, she's able to collect that which is written in the ksuba. Lefikach, therefore, imba le'beistin v'amra meis b'ili, hatiruni li'nase, v'lo hiskira shem ksuba b'olam, therefore, if she comes into Beis Din and she claims that her husband had died and she wishes to be permitted to remarry, and she doesn't mention any ksuba at all, they permit her to remarry and they make her take a swear and then they provide her with her ksuba. Bab amra meis baili tnuli ksubasi. However, if she comes into Beis Din and claims that her husband had died and she wants her ksuba, in this circumstance, we don't even allow her to remarry, unlike before we let her remarry when all she mentioned was remarriage. And then we also provide her with a ksuba once she swears. Here, we don't even let her remarry. She'al iske ha'ksuba ba, because she is coming with a claim on the ksuba. And this individual is in a state of being presumed to still be alive. Ve'ein daita linase. Elito ksuba mechayim bilvad, and we don't believe that she really intends to remarry, but rather, she just wants to receive the ksuba while he might still be alive. Bav amra meis baili hitiruni linase utnuli ksubasi. In this case now, if she comes and claims, my husband has died, I want to be permitted to remarry, and I would like to receive my ksuba, matirno salinase, here we permit her to remarry, but no sin la ksubasa, and we also give her a ksuba. Because primarily she had come into Beis Din with the desire to remarry. However, if she first mentions the ksuba, she says, give me my ksuba and permit me to remarry. In this case, we do permit her to remarry. We do not, though, give her her ksuba. Though, to be clear, if she seizes the value of the ksuba from her husband's estate on her own, then we do not take it away from her. Have a wonderful day.